Massachusetts has ambitious goals to combat climate change, net zero emissions by 2050. To get there, we need offshore wind, a lot of it, and we need it quickly. But now the largest project in the state's pipeline faces an uncertain future because of a battle over inflation. Miriam Wasser, who's WBUR Senior Climate and Environment Reporter, joins us to talk about it from the newsroom. Miriam, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So what just happened, Miriam?
Okay, so in a nutshell, the company behind the Commonwealth Wind Project, which is scheduled to come online in 2028, told the state on Friday that it wants to pull its contract to deliver power because the current economic situation has rendered the project unviable in its current state.
Okay, and that company is called Avangrid.
Correct.
Okay.
And they are a U.S. subsidiary of a much larger international energy and utility company. But before I go any farther, I think it's helpful to sort of back up for a second and do a little like offshore wind 101 refresher here.
Go for it.
So, okay. As we noted, Massachusetts has very ambitious offshore wind goals, and the state periodically holds these competitive auctions to try to lock in projects to meet those goals.
And they have names like Commonwealth Wind,
yep,
basically.
Or Vineyard Wind is another one we talk about a lot.
Yep.
So at these auctions, the state says how much power it's looking for, and then the companies submit bids. And in those bids, they say, we can deliver electricity at X price. The bids also include all sorts of other things like economic development, other stuff. The state then chooses winners and directs the three big utilities in the state to sign contracts with the wind companies.
To take that power once it's produced, basically.
Exactly, right,
okay.
And deliver it to people. So last December, Massachusetts had its third round of auctions and selected two projects, one of which was the Commonwealth Wind Project. And that is a 1,200 megawatt project, which in context is about enough power for 750,000 homes in the state of Massachusetts.
So that's a lot.
Yep, this is the biggest project we have to date. It also selected a smaller 400 megawatt project. And this past spring, Avangrid, which again is behind the Commonwealth Wind Project, signed contracts with the three utilities. And as that and then the State Department of Public Utilities has to review it.
Mm-hmm.
And that review process can take a while. And as that was going on, as we all know, the economic situation just was deteriorating and deteriorating. And in October, Avangrid asked the state to pause its review of the contract so that it could try to renegotiate the price of electricity that had been agreed upon.
So how much they were going to get once they were up and running on this this 1,200 megawatts.
Correct, how much they were going to sell their electricity
and
for.
And the state said no.
The state said no. The utility said no. And there was a lot of back and forth. But essentially, the state kind of gave the company an ultimatum at the end of the day and said, commit to the contract as it is or pull out. And so what happened on Friday is Avangrid said it was going to do the latter, and it filed a motion to dismiss the contract as is. And but I should add, you know, Avangrid has been very clear that it is committed to this project and that it plans to resubmit it in the spring when we have another one of those solicitations.
And we're going to add a voice from Avangrid in a minute, but I want to understand here, you talked to some advocates who were concerned that this could set a precedent for other projects, that you sign a contract, the economic situations change, and you can say kind of, olly, olly, oxen free, I want to redo.
Yeah, I mean, I will say throughout this entire saga, people have been very clear that Avangrid was between a rock and a hard place. Before they decided to pull the contract, people were saying, like, they're in a bad situation, and if the utilities decide to renegotiate, that could set a bad precedent. What, you know, the other project that was recently selected, that 400 megawatt project we mentioned, also said, hey, you know, the economic situation is making us kind of nervous, and so there were concerns about precedent, and now that a decision has been made, there are also concerns about what precedent this could set. And you know, one of the people I talked to about this was Brad Campbell. He is the president of the Conservation Law Foundation.
I think the offshore wind industry will move forward regardless of Avangrid. But I do think there are other offshore wind developers that are facing challenges, given what's happening with inflation, given what's happening with supply chain issues. And it would be unfortunate if other companies take away the signal that they can treat their bids so lightly and just drop them.
Yeah, and Campbell went on to say that he was surprised that a company like Avangrid that's worth billions of dollars wouldn't have built wiggle room into the price that they offered, in case the economy took a downturn. And he also suggested that the company should face some sort of consequence as a means of deterring other offshore wind companies from possibly doing this in the future.
And what is the state saying since Friday?
Nothing so far.
All right. So, Miriam, sit tight. I'm going to come back to you in a little bit. I want to bring another voice into this conversation. Kim Harriman is the Senior Vice President for State Government Affairs and Corporate Communications at Avangrid, company at the heart of this. Kim, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So you have sat here and listened to Miriam and I sort of talk about how this has unfolded. What did you think when you knew your company was going to make this announcement last Friday? Listen, we got to pull out.
Yeah, the first thing we thought was we've got $10 billion of investments into Massachusetts' clean energy future. Let's talk about everything this company has done for the region. Vineyard Wind 1 is a joint partnership by us. It's 800 megawatts, first utility scale project in the U.S. We're all in. We're on time. We're moving forward. We're within the budget.
So you're saying you've invested lots of other places. You're involved in other auctions and production. And so you're asking for some wiggle room here. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. You just said people are concerned we're going to set a precedent. Well, folks, we're in an unprecedented situation. When's the last time we've seen 40-year inflation, a war in Ukraine, which is impacting the availability of steel, supply chain disruption that's still a hangover from COVID? This isn't about setting a precedent. This is about facing a reality of an unprecedented situation.
So I hear you, Kim, and we're speaking with Kim Harriman here, Senior Vice President for Government Affairs and Corporate Communications at Avangrid. But that doesn't mean it might not set a precedent, right? So you're saying that's not what I'm worried about. I'm worried about unprecedented times. But regardless, this could set a precedent. Would you have concern that if it did, that might be destabilizing to an industry that you care about that needs to produce a lot of energy for the Commonwealth over the next couple of decades?
Yeah, I think everybody is taking a look. It's not just Massachusetts. If you look across all the Northeast states, New York, New Jersey, all of those entities are looking at how they're procuring offshore wind, and they're grappling with the real impacts of inflation. So some of those states are looking at inflation adjusters for their next solicitation. You made a point of, did we build enough headroom?
Did you?
Right?
I'm sure you built some.
Absolutely. You always
What percentage?
Build.
What percentage? Like,
I'm not going to talk about the percentage because it's business confidentiality issues. But let's just say this. Nobody proposes billions of dollars in infrastructure without building in some wiggle room for cost overruns, largely dealing with suppliers, right? So again, when we put in the bid was September of 2021, let's think about what the environment was like at that point. We didn't have a total transparency on the Ukraine situation, the impact on supply chain. COVID was not rebounding as fast from a supply chain disruption, labor disruption. And you had a Fed fund rate, which was at historic lows.
Interest rate from
right?
the federal.
Absolutely. Interest rates go, and let's just really talk about this. Interest rates that go from September from like a 0.25, 0.5, we're at 4 and above 4 right now. When you got to finance $4 billion project.
So the cost to you is
huge.
Higher. So what do you want? What is the desired outcome from Avangrid?
So look, we're still in this. We are not pausing this project. In fact, today, the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management, yesterday, the Bureau issued our draft environmental impact statement. That is a huge permitting step forward on the federal front. We are pushing forward with this project. By filing the motion on Friday, what we're saying is, let's set down this contract. Let's go to the next auction. We know the state has to issue a solicitation in April 2023. Add these 1,200 megawatts to it. We understand we have to bid.
But isn't that an auction for more? Right. So if we do these auctions along the way, wouldn't that be an auction for something else that we also need?
That auction will cover, it can cover the 1,200 megawatts and it can cover the tranche that they need to get to their 2030
goal. So you want to do a both and that gives you a chance to renegotiate.
And frankly, if they do that, we're already moving the project forward, as I talked about. We've got federal, state, local permits lined up. We're lining up suppliers.
All right. Last question to you, Kim Harriman. Any concern that given this pushback, this back and forth with the state, that they might next spring say, not you?
Look, everybody has a responsibility to find cost-effective clean energy solutions for the state. And what we're saying is we have a project that can provide that for residents. So as a fiduciary responsibility obligation of the state to find the cheapest way to achieve the state's climate law, we would think that we would be allowed to bid into that. And we'll compete. But we think we have the most cost-effective project that can deliver energy by 2028.
All right, Kim Harriman, thanks. I'm going to have you sit tight there. I'm bringing Miriam Wasser back into this conversation. This is From the Newsroom. We are looking at the state of the Commonwealth Wind Offshore Energy Project, which is facing some hurdles after a petition, my word, not yours, last Friday. So, Miriam, what strikes you about what we just heard from Kim? And do you think I'm understanding, because I'm sort of on behalf of the listeners here, the situation in this moment?
I think you are. And I think I would just sort of reiterate something that both of you were kind of talking maybe around a little bit, which is that just because this contract is on pause does not mean the project is on pause. So, right, the project is moving forward. The federal government is reviewing it. Avangrid is moving forward with its promises for economic development. They are just saying, we want to sign a new contract next year.
And to reiterate, the state has not said anything since this last Friday, and you don't know right now what their position will be on whether or not to do what Avangrid wants with this next auction. Is that correct?
Correct. Although some experts I've talked to have said it seems like it would be kind of a weird position for the state to take, to say you need to move forward with a contract that you don't want to be in anymore and that you don't think is viable. That feels a little bit weird. And I think that Kim made a good point, which is we don't know the size of the solicitation that the state will offer this spring. So let's say maybe they were hoping to do 2,000 megawatts. Maybe now they say, let's do 3,200 megawatts in anticipation of this.
And Kim, that's really what you're advocating for from Avangrid. Put them, the two together, and let us bid. But in the meantime, you're going to keep working on the infrastructure as if this is all going forward. Wait, your mic is down. We're going to bring it back up. Go ahead.
Okay. Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. We're ready to go full speed ahead on everything.
Okay.
Right. So, and then the question remains, is the state okay with that, right? And are they willing to select this project, or do they say, nope, we want to prevent this from happening again in the future, so we're going to make an example of you, Avangrid.
All right. So, Miriam, before we let you go, I just want to ask you a quick different question. We just got word that yesterday the governor-elect Maura Healey has tapped Melissa Hoffer to serve as the state's first-ever climate chief. And I just want to get your take on that appointment. First time this has ever happened.
Yeah. So according to the Healey administration, we would be the first state in the country to have a climate chief, which is sort of like a climate czar type thing, someone who's going to oversee all of climate and energy activities across the government. I spoke to a number of environmentalists and environmental advocates yesterday, and everyone unanimously was excited about this pick. She's got a lot of big challenges ahead of her, but people seem to think she's up to the challenge.
All right. We will continue to watch. That's Miriam Wasser, WBUR Senior Reporter for Climate and Environment, and Kim Harriman, Senior Vice President for Government Affairs and Corporate Communications at Avangrid. Kim, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Miriam, I hope you'll come back again soon.
Anytime, Tiziana.